Welcome. It looks like a lot of new faces. So instead of who's new, let's see who's been here before. Wow, this is really new. Yeah. Cool. So welcome. This is a special place. It's a lot of people come in throughout the day. I have some guests that have come and visited me while I'm working here. I'm the center manager. My name's Jill Marie. And it's one of the only English-speaking Tibetan centers around. So it's, why you probably found it, it's quite an anomaly for the area. And tonight is your five-week course into Meditation 101 with the amazing Venerable Lama. So you're in for a real treat. She's so calm, and her presence is very endearing and loving. So you'll enjoy it. I think I started back in 2008, so I think she was actually my teacher, too, back then. Just a few things I'm not going to go over many things. You can actually feel comfortable to get up and get a cup of tea out in the cafe area, go to the bathroom, make yourself comfortable. And one thing that a lot of people do is you can go back and forth. If your knees start hurting, just get up and walk and sit over there. Or if you want to sit over there for the lecture portion and come back for the meditations to start practicing sitting, try either thing's fine. So make yourself comfortable. You probably don't know much about our donation-only basis, because it's so strange. I know people have traveled around the world and they've said, I kind of forget about what we do here because the other centers charge like $10, $15 a class or $120 or something a module. So it is quite rare. And when you think about, let's see, where's Gary? So I think he's coming to DB. So we had a talk on the phone. He's a new person. And, you know, you really don't know how rare this is if you've never been here before. So we don't ever charge for anything, and we have been here for 25 years come this June, not in this location, but it's really amazing. And so I like to put that out there, not like get your wallets out, but just so that you know, it is a donation-based class and a donation-based center. And I was talking to some of you about how to do that. There's boxes outside the Gompa door on the concierge desk. There's a little sign right here for text giving, which is brand new, so feel free to try that out. That's really easy. And then we're having our annual appeal right now. So if you felt like you wanted to get more involved and start giving on a regular basis after you've been here a while, you can talk to me about it. There's new member orientation that comes once a month. Newcomer orientation is next Sunday. So you can see our schedule online and just keep up with everything that we're doing. And I welcome you to the class.
Thank you very much, Jill. Okay, as you said, my name is Lamo. I'm the chant master at this Kadampa Center, and I've been doing that for about 9 years, and I was ordained here in this very room about 7.5 years ago. If you please turn off your cell phones or put them on vibrate so not to disturb the meditation practice. I don't recall if Jill mentioned this, but just if you need to go to the restroom, it's just out that door to the left. And as she said, you're welcome to bring any drinks into the room. If you are, let's see, what is wrong here? Okay, thank you. we don't have, everything is run by volunteers, so if you want to, get a cup out of the kitchen or something, if you just please wash it afterwards and put it away. So it's completely that volunteers. And when you come in or sometime before you leave, if you please write your name on the sign-up sheet on the table right over there, that's how I keep attentive. So usually what I do is I embarrass everyone and ask people to say their first name and where they're from and so forth. But instead today, would you mind introducing yourself to the person that's closest to you and, especially someone you don't know, and just tell them who you are, whatever, please.
Thank you.
Okay. So thank you very much for doing that. So I'd like to talk about the structure of this course. So first of all, it's an introductory course for those who have never meditated before or who are trying to start a meditation practice at home, but maybe they just can't get it started. And we'll be exploring different meditation techniques in this class. There are certain types of meditation, but we'll be doing one type of meditation using different techniques. And hopefully we'll be doing these practices during the class, and I hope that you'll be also practicing at home. There'll be 5 sessions, and the sessions will last about an hour. The meditation practices that we do are already online on the Kadamba Center website. Just go to, to Special Spiritual Program, Introductory Programs, Meditation 101. And you see all the handouts, all the different meditation techniques that we'll be practicing here. If you complete all of the 5 classes and you fill out a completion card, submit that on the last day, you will earn a certificate for the class. Okay, so let's start right away. We just keep your back straight, and we're going to do just a little short exercise just to get our mind settled to from the busyness of all the work and driving that you've done so far today. So if you're sitting in a chair, try to keep your feet flat on the floor or on a cushion if you can't, if it's not comfortable or you can't reach the floor. And if you're sitting in on a cushion on the floor, then try to keep your back higher than your knees. That keeps a very stable posture. And just sit and try to relax the tension in your body. You might notice that maybe you're furrowing your brow, or there might be some tension in your jaw or your neck or your shoulders or in your legs. So just bring your attention there and try to relax it or shift until you find a very comfortable position. Lower or close your eyes and bring your focus to the air going in and out of your nostrils. And I'll sound the bell once to begin and twice to end. Okay, now I'd like to talk about what meditation is. So in Tibetan, the word for meditation is gom, G-O-M, and it means to become familiar with. And in this case, it would be becoming familiar with a virtuous object. And so it's not about relaxing and spacing out, and it's not about stopping thought. In our tradition, it has been said that our mind is like a wild and powerful elephant. So if you were an elephant trainer, you try to sort of control your elephant, this powerful wild thing, with a rope, and then you attach the rope to a post. So in this instance, when you're trying to learn how to meditate, you try to tie your elephant mind with the rope of mindfulness onto a post, which is the meditation object. And the purpose and power of meditation is to reduce negative thought or afflicted mind. So it's not just about relaxing, in other words. And our thoughts will flow like a river. It has been flowing, you know, since for years, probably all your life. And so when we're meditating, we're not trying to stop thought. We're not really trying to change their course. We're not trying to indulge our thoughts. We're just trying to note them or watch them as if we're an old man watching children play. So, and it's also important to do productive meditation. So productive meditation is meditating by focusing on that object, the object of your choice. And as our teacher says, Geshe-la says, you know, animals sit and they look like they're meditating, like chickens roosting on their eggs or squirrels sitting in the tree. They're very quiet, silent, and they're sitting, but we don't consider that meditation. He calls it chicken meditation. So to be productive, as I said, we have to focus on that meditation object and, you know, and in order to try to quiet your mind, try especially the negative states of mind. So usually, you know, throughout the day, throughout our lives, we're always focusing on what's happening on the outside of our life, in our outer world. But in meditation, we try to get acquainted with our inner world and how it functions, to learn how it functions, to see how it interacts with the things outside of us. And there are three types of meditation. There's review meditation, analytical meditation, and concentration meditation. I'll talk about review and analytical meditation later on another day. But concentration meditation is simply pointedly focusing on that object again. And it produces a calm and peaceful mind. And the object of meditation is anything that you would like to choose from. Like just a few minutes ago, we focused on our breath going in and out. We can also, out of our nostrils, we could also have as an object your abdominal breathing, you know, your abdomen going in and out. It could be a color. It could be a light, an image, anything, you know, that you choose. And mindfulness is a little different. Mindfulness is awareness. So by developing vigilant awareness of our actions, of body, speech, and mind, we do this to find out, you know, what's happening and how we react in the present moment. So there is a certain meditation posture. Now, we started with just that exercise where it was just important to get your back straight. And if you can't remember everything, you know, we were trying to just relax and do that. That's fine. But if you really want to know the 7-point meditation posture, since we're trying to learn how to meditate, we start with our legs. So if you're sitting on a cushion on the floor, you're cross-legged. If you are sitting on an idle chair, then you try to keep your feet flat on the floor, and if it's more comfortable, you can put it on your feet on a cushion. And we have plenty of cushions. You're welcome to grab anyone you like. And then you have your arms, and you have your arms sort of akimbo away from your torso, and you have your arms right on left with thumbs touching. And some people like to have their hands on their knees, and that's perfectly fine, whatever is most comfortable. Sometimes people even put a cushion underneath their, you know, their hands right on left. But you don't, I've seen some people will hold their hands up, you know, like this, and that's very comfortable. You don't want to do that for, you know, hours and hours. So you just set it on your lap and try, you know, that's all you need to do. And as I said, your back is straight. So you try to visualize your back as a stack of coins. You know, even though the back is naturally curved, you know, you try to just think of it that. Or as some having a string going down, you know, through the top of your head, through your back, sort of like a puppet, like that. But comfortable. You know, you don't have to be like a Marine sitting like that. And your eyes... So for our purposes, you can either close your eyes or you can sort of have them lightly closed, unfocused in front of you. You can even go, you know, directly right down your nose. But there are also meditation practices where you actually keep your eyes open and you look up or you look straight across. But in this, for us, for our purposes, it would be either lightly closed or lightly open or just closed, but not tightly. You know, you just try to close your eyes naturally. And then you have you try not to clench your jaws or your lips, your mouth, and your tongue is on the roof of your mouth behind your front teeth. That helps with saliva not, you know, coming down, making a mess. And then your head is slightly tilted forward because we're looking down in this case. And why do we sit like this? It's for physical pliancy, and it's also very helpful. Meditators in the past have done sat like this because it's a very comfortable position that they can maintain for a long time. So that's why they have introduced this 7-point meditation posture. And sometimes you'll see it's 8-pointed, and then in that case, the 8th point is your breath. And this is this posture is common to Buddhists and non-Buddhists, and it was used by Shakyamuni Buddha, the historical Buddha, and by his disciples. So let's try another exercise. And this one is called counting breaths. It's just similar to the one that we just did. But instead of just focusing on your breath going in and out of your nostrils, this time we're going to start with exhalation. So you exhale, inhale, count 1. Exhale, inhale, count 2. And then before we start, you might think of a number that you want, your goal is. It could be 3 breaths, it could be 7, 10, 21, 100, you know, whatever. And what you do is you try to, you breathe, again, naturally. It's not forced. And so you don't try to make it longer or shorter or, you know, so that you can hear it, so forth. Just naturally. And then... if you lose count, if you forget what number you're on, then you go back and you start over again on number 1. So breathing meditation is a very simple practice compared to many of the other techniques. it's an easy way to cultivate concentration. It was used by Shakyamuni Buddha and his disciples. It's, you know, it's always there. It's very handy. You can never forget it. It's right there, you know, throughout the day. So it's a very easy object to have, but, well, I should say it's handy, but it's not always easy because it's so automatic that you almost forget, you know, that you're breathing. So you might forget the meditation object in that way. Now, distractions are very normal in the beginning. You're going to have thoughts and emotions and projects, issues coming up all the time. And then, but if they do, whether the thought is positive or negative, you just label it as a thought and then you let it go. You're going to hear sounds. You can hear, feel people shifting around. You'll hear the traffic going by. You might hear snoring. And if that's true, if that happens, just label it as a sound or a movement and then bring your focus back to your breath again. So in other words, don't make those sounds, those distractions, don't let that become an issue for you or an excuse for you to say that you couldn't meditate because of that. And so also drop all your concerns, your issues, your projects, your plans. Try to bring your attention right here, not in the past, not in the future, right here in this room at the present moment. Okay? And just rest in the stillness of your mind. So I'm going to sound the bell once to begin and twice to end, and you might think how many times I'm going to try to count my breaths, exhalation, inhalation, without distraction, without remembering what number, you know, that you're on. Okay? So we'll do this for about 5 minutes. Now, the purpose of that breathing, counting, meditation is to neutralize the mind. As a Geshe La resident teacher says, that trying to transform a negative mind to positive mind is like trying to wake the dead. It's impossible. So you try to neutralize your mind, and that's what the purpose of that meditation was. So let's take a moment to share experiences of this exercise. Was it helpful? Was it anyone having any difficulties or problems? Does anyone have any questions?
It allowed me to be single focused.
I'm sorry?
Focused on my breathing and all the other thoughts were just gone.
Oh, okay. Okay, I forgot to mention that we are streaming and recording this class. So if you do have a question or want to make a comment, then would you please wait for the handheld mic? And then when you have it, put it almost on your lips. You have to really speak into it or it doesn't pick up. So, okay, so that's great. So were you counting though? You said that your thoughts subsided when you were breathing. You lost your count. Did you try to get it back again? Did you try to count again?
It was at the very end that I lost it. I was feeling my counts, feeling my breathing naturally.
Wonderful.
And then at the end of it, I lost it all.
Oh, okay. But you were able to count. Okay, that's great. Wonderful. Thank you. Anyone else have any comments or questions?
I actually had a little bit of trouble with it because I was focused so much on counting that I had all of these thoughts and I wanted to think about the thoughts, but then I had to remember to count at the same time, and it was like I actually kind of got a little frustrated because I kept wanting to finish my thought, but then I had to remember to count.
Right. Yeah, it is a distraction. So you just think thought and then just try to let it go like bubbles. And you, okay. Oh, someone else.
Did you want
to? When I tried and you told us to just eliminate the thought by thinking thought or a sound, that really helped. So I was able to focus back on counting instead of letting my mind wander into whatever thought popped up in my head by just labeling thought and putting it out of my mind and focusing back on the breathing and the counting. It really helped.
Thank you.
I guess I kind of became preoccupied with whether or not I was going to hit my goal. So I'm not going to do that next time. That's all right.
That's good. Joyous effort.
Joyous.
Yeah, okay. Well, I got into meditation practice many years ago, about 17 years ago, maybe 20 years ago. I was going through a very difficult time in my life, and I was looking for something. I looked everywhere, you know, for something to help in any way that I could, for emotionally, you know, to get rid of fears, anxiety, anger, whatever. And I came upon a meditation practice. It was a book by the Zen master Thich Nhat Hanh. And it was amazing because as soon as I started practicing, well, first of all, I could not do what we just did. I could not keep my mind focused on my breath or counting for maybe more than a minute. So what he had a tape where he would sound the bell about every 30 seconds or minute. And that helped a lot because it would just, you know, my mind would be a million miles away, and then you hear the bell, and then you come back in again. And you just do that over and over and over again, because I would sit, I don't know, maybe 30 minutes or so, 20, 30 minutes. And it was amazing what it did. I don't know why, but my mind was in a really bad state, very, very negative. And it just completely calmed it down. And it was just wonderful. It was almost blissful because it was so agitated for so many months, maybe a year or two or so. This was after my divorce. It was just amazing what it could do. And if I could do it, anyone could do it, because it was just a matter of practice. You know, it was just out of desperation that I did it. And then I did it by myself. And with the help of the book. And then I found a group that met every Monday. And it was just, they were just a lay group. And very, supportive. And that's how I started. And then of course it was a regular practice. And it was just wonderful to be able to go back, sit on your cushion, and just just drop all that baggage and then be in the present moment. It was just a tremendous relief for me. You need more than that. And so I needed the Dharma teachings. But in the beginning, it was just a lifesaver. So how are we going to do this at home? You know, you come here and the setup is pretty good. So what you do is you try to find a place in your home that's nice and clean and quiet, a place you want to come back to. If you have a lot of space in your home, it could be a room. Or you can empty a closet, or maybe a corner of a room, maybe a little table where you can sit, a space by the wall, whatever. And I've heard some people say that they even do it on their bed. And what's nice is that you could expand it to creating your own sacred space. You know, a space that uplifts you. And then eventually, after a lot of practice, that space will expand and it will be the entire environment, and all the beings in that environment will become a sacred space for you too. But in this, just for the beginning, we just find this space. And then, of course, so that's where you want to do it, and then when. Now, it's said in this practice that the best time is in the morning, because in the morning you're refreshed and not much has happened to you so far. You know, you haven't really interacted with anybody yet. And so you can also, it's a great way to start the day with a positive intention or motivation, because we are working on our mind. And then during the day, you can just reflect on your thoughts and maybe their motivation that you've set in the morning, and try to, you know, hone your actions that way. And then you start with many sessions, short sessions as possible. So it could be like 5 minutes. We started the first meditation that we did to settle our minds, that was 3 minutes. And the counting one was 5 minutes. So you can sort of feel how long that was and how, you know, whether you have the capability of sitting 3 minutes or 5 minutes, which is comfortable for you. But when your mind becomes more serviceable, more stable, then you have longer, fewer sessions. And you always want to stop before, when you still want to keep meditating. So because, as Geshe-la says, that you don't want to look at your cushion, you know, between session and then want to throw up. You want to have this feeling that you want to, you know, go back. You know, it was great sitting. So that's what you do. So you wear comfortable clothes and you make sure at the beginning to have plenty of light, because if you don't, you might get drowsy. If you sit on a cushion, have your back higher than your knees again. If you're sitting on a chair, try to keep your feet flat on the floor. And you start with, you know, a motivation. And then you try to keep your practice steady and consistent, like a stream of water. And then at the end of that session, you dedicate your efforts and try to see if you fulfilled your objective, that your intention that you started with. Okay, so if no one has any comments or anything, we're going to go do another exercise. Okay, it's called scanning the body exercise. And this is handout number one. Yes, uh-huh. Oh, hold on just a second for the mic. And don't worry, nobody can hear you. The camera's pointed right here, so no one can see you. Don't worry.
When you say an intention, what exactly can that be?
Okay, so I'll tell you what it... Okay, this is an example.
Okay.
Of an intention. You can make your own intention. Because we are trying to transform our minds. We're trying to decrease our negative states of mind and increase the positive.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what I was going to say. By taking time to do this meditation practice, may I develop my mind and become a wiser and kinder person in order to be of benefit to all beings. So that's an intention.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
It's the reason why you're meditating. And it has to do with some of the teachings that we do. That's in the Dharma. It's to make sure that in order for a complete action, any kind of action, you have a motivation and the action itself, the dedication, and of course, actually completing the action. You know, you have the person who's doing the action itself, you have the motivation at the beginning, and the dedication. And when you have those elements in there, it becomes a complete action, and then the causes, the effects are very strong when you do that. Most of the time, our actions, especially our virtuous actions, are very weak. You know, when you do a negative action, you know, you have this great motivation, you know, I'm going to get that person, you know, and that's you getting the other person. You have that option, you know it's that person, and so then you do the action, you get even, and then you think, aha, I did it. Isn't that great? You rejoice. It's a complete action, very powerful to create, definitely going to create an effect later in this life or in the future life. So that's why it's important to have these elements in your action, your session, your meditation session. You know, your motivation, the meditation practice itself with your focus on your object, and then your dedication, and that's why we do it. That's a long explanation. Any other questions? Okay. All right. So get into your meditation posture. If you're uncomfortable on a cushion, just move to a chair. Or if you lie on a chair and you'd like to try a cushion, please do so. If you want to try to adjust, get more cushions, do that. You know, just pile them up and make yourself a little cozy seat. Okay, so first we focus our attention on our breathing. Just breathe naturally. Become present in the moment and the place where you are. Just focus the mind on the rising and falling of your shoulders and chest as you inhale and exhale gently. And allow your mind to settle and become calm and present, ready to engage in meditation. Now create an altruistic motivation for the meditation session. Think that you are meditating not just for your own individual benefit, but you are taking the time now to meditate and develop your mind to become a wiser and kinder person, able to be of benefit to all beings. Focus your attention on your physical body. Find the most suitable sitting position for meditation with your spine straight and erect, a position in which you can be aware and awake, but not stiff or rigid. Focus your attention on the lowermost point of your body, where your body is in contact with the earth. Feel the substance and earthy character of your body. Concentrate for a moment on that contact, on the weight and substance of this physical form. Pay attention to the character of your mind, your consciousness, while focusing here. Now slowly and mindfully move your attention upward through your body. Pay close attention to every aspect of your body, your physical sensations. Note areas of tension and relax them. Note sensations of coolness or warmth. Note places where one part of your body is touching another. Move upward through your legs, your hips, your hands, and your lap. Note the curves of your body's silhouette. Move upward, your belly, your waist, the curves of your arms. Continue to move upward, the rising and falling of your chest with your breathing, the curves of your shoulders. Keep moving upward, slowly, mindfully. Pay special attention to your shoulders, neck, and jaw. If there is tension there, relax those areas. move still upward the tilt of your head until you reach the crown of your head. Allow your attention to rest at your crown for a moment. Pay attention to the character of your mind, your consciousness, while focusing here. Is your mind's character different while concentrating here than it was when you were focusing on the lowermost point of your body? What differences can you note? Now slowly move your attention back downward through your body in the same way. Move slowly, mindfully, noting everything about your body as you move your attention back downward. Bring your attention all the way back down to the cushion or floor where your body is in contact with the earth. Again, focus your concentration at this point and note the character of your consciousness while focusing here. Again, note the nature of your mind state when concentrating here and any differences from your mind state when concentrating at your crown. Now for the dedication, may our positive energy and insights bring well-being and happiness to all living beings. Does anyone have any questions about the scanning body exercise? Okay, now the Tibetan masters compare meditation practice with taming a wild horse. So if you are trying to tame a wild horse and you tie it to a very short rope and you beat it, then it may take a while before it would trust you or like you. But if you let the wild horse free in a very large corral, let it run around, and then maybe bring a carrot, then it might, you know, like you in a quicker amount of time than if you hit it with a short rope. And so that's what you try to do with your mind when you're doing this meditation practice. You try to relax and give your mind a great big corral to run around with when you meditate. Don't judge. Let your thoughts rise, abide, and go. Just treat yourself very gently because, as you know, people are very, very sensitive inside. Your mind is very, very delicate. So you have to be very careful to not push your mind, yourself, too far. It's not like, it's the same as exercising at the gym and trying to, you know, get a better body, but you can't push it like that all the time because then you're going to have problems. And this happens a lot when we have meditation retreats. People develop a disease called lung. And so what do we do between meditation sessions when we're not meditating on the cushion? So what we do is we practice mindfulness. You keep your mind on what you're doing, how you're doing it, and why you're doing it. You notice the state, your state of mind and your mental attitude. So maybe someone says something unkind to you, and maybe anger rises up. And then you might notice how maybe your face flushes, and maybe your heart starts to pound harder, and maybe your hands start to sweat, and maybe your knees start to shake or something like that out of anger. So just notice that. Just think, ah, that's anger. That's what my body does when I'm angry. You know, and then maybe you could excuse yourself or something. But that's what you should focus on. Just as you do if you're sitting, you know, in the meditation seat. And again, don't get distracted. Try to focus on one thing at a time, even though, you know, these days we try to multitask. But it's found that it's to have a single-pointed concentration on what you're doing seems to work a lot better these days. And then simply rest comfortably in what you're doing. You know, it's, I guess some of the Zen practices, practitioners have this this feeling of, you know, being in the zone, you know, where you're just working as if you're almost, you know, not like a machine, but you're doing automatically and then it's very smooth, you know, going. And so that's very peaceful, very serene. Okay. So I don't think we have time to do another counting breath exercise. I was going to do that again because I know that people are very busy and they may not do this at home. So I wanted to make sure that you have a chance to do that here. So for your homework, of course, you need to go home and try to set up a place where you're going to meditate and come back to frequently for short periods of time. And then you have to kind of figure out your schedule and when you're most, accepting of this routine. Some people cannot do it in the morning, you know. And you can set a positive motivation when you come wake up, you know, very happy and with being alive, having a roof over your head, you know, being able to move, walk, have limbs, have food. and then set up, you know, motivation for trying to keep your mind, if not positive, at least neutral, and trying to figure out the schedule, how often you're going to do it, and then try to make a commitment. Because it's just like meditation practice is easy to do, but it's hard to continue. You know, you can start it here, but you have to make a commitment. Just like you can't sit down. If you've never seen a piano before, you can't sit down and start playing a beautiful, classical, intricate piece right away. You have to practice. And it might be dull and it might be boring, but you know the benefits of practicing. You know, you'll be able to play a beautiful piece of music. So when you start your meditation practice at home, you just maybe would help think about the benefits of it. And then you might also, when you start doing it, you might enjoy the calm and peace that concentration meditation brings to you. So practice the bare attention or counting breaths meditation a few times this week. And again, try to commit to a steady, consistent practice. And next time when we come, if you, you're welcome to share your experiences. And also I'll try to answer any questions, or maybe some of the other people can lend their advice, their wisdom on how they tackled any problems that they had. And try to hold everything light, even though, you know, you have this commitment to do this. You don't want to, first of all, have any expectations. You don't want to feel like you're being good or bad or stress or worry about this. You know, you want to keep your mind light and positive and encourage yourself. But you also want to set achievable goals. You know, don't think, I'm going to go tonight, even though it's kind of late when I get home, I'm going to try to practice and sit for 20 minutes. And I'm not going to waver, and I'm going to count to 108 continually. And, you know, your mind is really tight. And then when next time you want to throw up when you see the meditation cushion. So you want to, you know, keep it light and say, okay, I meditated several times tonight, then I'll try to keep up the momentum. And, you know, just like if you on a diet and you suddenly eat all the ice cream in the freezer, then, you know, don't just give up. You got to try again. You know, tomorrow or tonight, I'll try again. You know, just continue. And remember, this is really important. The reason that you're doing this is that you're transforming your own mind. So if you're sitting and suddenly the cat comes and invites himself on your lap and you want to kick him out, or he's meowing outside the door, or if you have children crying, or a husband that wants his breakfast, or whatever, you know, it's not their fault. You know, maybe we have to think of a different way. And I will show you how to do other types of meditation, eating meditation, walking meditation, other techniques. You know, if you just can't fit in a meditation practice, a sitting meditation practice on your cushion, you know, frequently during the day, because I practiced several times at work. Also, I also work full time. So next time we meet, the topic will be on the nature of mind, and I'll talk more about mindfulness. Okay, so may the positive energy we have created through the practice of mindful meditation tonight bring peace and well-being to ourselves, our family, friends, and all others in every moment of every day. Thank you very much. Please don't forget anything. Look around before you leave. And also, if we have inclement weather, please check our website. I didn't see anything on, you know, like the RAL TV where they have the closings. I didn't see any of the Kadamba Center closings announced there. So you need to go to our website, and I think on the home page it'll say where the class is canceled. Okay, thank you. Have a good evening.